'cause it's the end of time. And the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden and moan boys raised. Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
All right, we're ready to go live here with the Sunday Show. The American Freedom Party Report.
Well, that's right.
Rock and roll. So, ahoy out there in Radio Land and Republic Broadcasting Network. This is George and Paul. James will be joining us shortly. I was just talking.
I'm right here.
Hey, James! We finally figured out our Skype-a-thon here. I hand it over to you, James.
Well, great to have all three of us here together. Paul, thank you for joining us. And, folks, this is our three-hour show, so this is really a good chance for you, if you have something to say it. We've got 3 hours. And our call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And some of our topics that take a little more time to develop and are things we might address today. We've been talking lately about Paul Fromm's South African book. And by the way, Paul, in the board of directors conference call yesterday for the American Freedom Party, we talked quite a bit about your book. And very eager to see the release of Paul's book. And you know, Paul, you could kind of use this show as to give us an update on how it's going, chapters that are coming together, you know, how close you are to completion and that sort of thing. And then we'll use this show to help fund the book. So we urge people to contribute, you know, of course, buy the book once we release it, please, by all means, buy a case of Paul's book on South Africa. But you can help fund the book now, and a way to do that is just send in money. It's a good way to fund things. Yes. Send in money. And the A really easy way to do that is to either go online to the AmericanFreedomParty.us. That's the AmericanFreedomParty.us, and make a contribution to the party and mark it. Wherever there's a place to mark something, just mark it for the South Africa book, for Paul Fromm's project, and so on. And our office will know where to direct your funds. You can also reach Paul Fromm directly. Paul, tell folks how they can reach you directly, and you can send support to Paul directly. Paul, give him your address.
Yes, email me, and then I can give you a PayPal address or a physical address. It's paul@paulfromm.com. That's P-A-U-L at P-A-U-L-F-R-O-M-M.com. And I received help from a number of listeners. I was had a call just before Christmas from a fellow who had been to university in Canada back in the 80s and knew some rather interesting South Africans. And he had some interesting stories that confirmed some of what I found in my studies.
There's a call for Paul coming in right there. Folks, phones are ringing off the hook. Operators are standing by to take your call.
We have fun, James.
We have fun here, and the Paul, let us know when you're back.
Yeah, I'm back, and okay. I'm particularly, you know, the two of the things that I'm really emphasizing in this book are the violence, organized and unorganized, against whites. It's taken over 70,000 white lives. That's more than the United States lost in Vietnam. And the United States is a nation of back then just a little under 300 million people. Whites in South Africa never were more numerous than 5 million. So 70,000 lives in a population of under 5 million is very, very significant. These are whites who have been murdered since power was handed over to the communists in the African National Congress in 1994. So the violence, now it's not, there is organized violence, and then there's just plain rampant criminality, much of it targeted at whites. So that's one reality of the lives of people in South Africa. Another reality, of course, is the economic pressure they find themselves under. It's very difficult for whites to find employment. No job, no standard of living, or let's say very bad, poor standard of living. This is not because whites are lazy or because whites don't have any skills. Just the opposite. The Afrikaners are extremely hardworking people, very skilled. In fact, unemployed South Africans are snapped up, especially those with technical skills, in places all around the world. But that's not the point. South Africans, in general, don't want to emigrate. And that's another thing. I found the whites there fiercely proud of being South African, and of their white tribe. That they are Africans, or their land is Africa. They're not recently transplanted people from England or other European countries who can, well, you know, if things get tough, always go back home. Home for most of these people is South Africa. And I had some very interesting conversations with people who said, well, I went to and lived in Australia for 5 years, and I couldn't stand it. South Africa is my home. Or I went to England, and, you know, okay. obviously, less violence and so on. But Africa, with their own particular foods that they developed over the last couple hundred years and traditions, that's home, and they want to stay. And that's why I think it's so important that we begin to get the information out there. Then we begin to build more active sympathy, not just passive sympathy, but active sympathy among our people to get this to get the plight of the South Africans on the world's agenda, particularly on the agenda of the incoming president, President Trump. You know, it seems that when he takes an interest in something, things happen. For instance, you know, for years now, American and Canadian jobs have been bleeding to the third world. Trump said he was going to bring the jobs back. Well, that wasn't just idle talk. He, even before becoming president, but with his leadership, by leaning on companies like Carrier and I believe it was Ford this past week, he's gotten jobs back into the United States. He saved a lot of auto jobs in Michigan. Well, I think if Donald Trump takes an interest on the plight of the whites in South Africa, the dictator, well, the strongman in South Africa, people like communist Jacob Zuma, who is the president, he's under fire even from a lot of Africans, will listen. They will listen, or others around them will listen, and things will improve. If Trump says this is important to us, and you know what happens if important things that are important to us don't get addressed. We have ways of making your lives miserable and seeing that you benefit from your corrupt positions. There's tremendous graft and corruption in South Africa. So the Negro ruling class know they've got it really good. And if it's put to them that they may find their lives more difficult in the future, I think many of them will get with the agenda. But again, where it comes down to James is leadership. Somebody has to care. And America has not cared about the whites in South Africa since 1994, when under tremendous pressure from monsters like Henry Kissinger and others, the South African leadership of the National Party were corrupted or convinced or both to hand over power to the communists. There's widespread speculation that a number of the leaders were simply bought off with big contributions to offshore bank accounts. What other inducements or threats were made? I'm not entirely sure. But America played a big and wicked role in this. And, you know, of course, back then it was all, oh, well, black empowerment, black civil rights, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, good old Canada was involved with this, too. We're just up to our hypocritical eyeballs in trying to get rid of the whites in South Africa. As soon as the communists take over in 1994, no further interest. Well, except maybe to hand them foreign aid and things like that. But interest in the plight of the whites? No interest at all. And that's what I'm hoping to address in the book, and that's what I know it's much larger than me or the book. I think the efforts of the American Freedom Party and others, we're going to focus on trying to help our fellow whites in South Africa. And while making immigration for whites easier, I think is a laudable goal, what really they want is to have a good life in South Africa and to get the rank racist discrimination that's aimed at them off their backs, and then reduce the violence. And the violence, James, also hits the blacks too. I mean, South Africa is the rape capital of the world, and it's mostly blacks raping other blacks, including children, you know, under 2 years of age, because of their heathen belief that if you have sex with a virgin, I don't know if you have to find a 2-year-old to find a virgin, but if you have sex with a virgin, it will make you immune to AIDS, which is it's up there with myths that some of our politicians believe, like diversity is our greatest strength.
Oh, it's not?
No,
it's not. Oh my gosh! Well, you know, folks,
for 18 months, and we haven't figured that one out yet.
The folks, South Africa. You know, you most of our audience here is American. But by the way, greetings to our South African audience. Right now, as Paul, George, and I speak, we have listeners listening this evening in South Africa. And we found that out. We ran a 3-4 month series of nothing but South African topics on our program, on our Sunday program. It was a Saturday program then. And We found out lots of people in South Africa tuning in because we're a ray of hope for them. And speaking of hope, it was on Founders Day, 6 April 1652, that Jan van Riebeck landed three ships, one of them, of course I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, even though these are my ancestral languages too, but he landed a ship called Good Hope, and in Dutch it looks like Good Hoop, Good Hoop. And if South African can call in and correct me, Karen Smith, if you're out there, you can call in and correct me. But on 6 April 1652, this great nation began. Now, this is completely parallel with our beginnings. We had small boatloads of people who founded Jamestown in 1607 and Plymouth in Virginia and Plymouth in Massachusetts in 1620. So this is in the exact same time period. It's the very same people, by the way. Those pilgrims who founded Plymouth, they were sailing from where? From Dutch ports. They were sailing from Dutch ports, and they were actually living in the Netherlands at the time, a lot of them, a lot of the pilgrims from England. And these people that came to South Africa, just like us, they were Dutch, they were Huguenots, they were French, they were English, they were German, just like us. Our South African cousins are a people so much like us, and their land is every bit their land as much as our America is our America that we built. I don't contemplate going back to Scotland, the name Kelso from Scotland, or back to Germany, my middle name, Walrath. I'm not contemplating going back to Germany. I had people on the Mayflower who were my ancestors. And at Jamestown, who are my ancestors, this is my country, and so it is for the South Africans. And Paul, to go back to that number, you gave our audience the terrifying number of 70,000 of these good white people have been murdered in South Africa by the terrorizing black population. Let's put that into an American frame of reference. Our population here, our white population in America, folks, is 50 times, roughly 50 times as large as that of our South African cousins. So take any number that you hear in Paul's book or in Paul discusses the South African story and multiply it times 50. Number of rapes times 50, murders times 50, people living in camps, in squalid conditions or hopeless conditions. I can't say squalid, because wherever there are South Africans, nothing is squalid. South Africans are the toughest people in the world. They're not capable of being or living in a squalid way. Wouldn't you say, Paul?
Oh, yes. They're very neat, organized people. They come from a Calvinist religious past. They're very, very down-to-earth, practical people. I really found them delightful. And, I think it's part of our makeup, our nature, that we want to help. That's the idealistic and altruistic side of white people. And, that's good. That's something very positive about us. Unfortunately, we some of our people give into destructive altruism. They're so busy helping others that they neglect themselves, they neglect their own people. It's one thing to be self-sacrificing and work extremely hard for the cause, the way you do, James and William Johnson and Don Black and others. But none of us neglects our family. Our extended family are fellow white people like the Afrikaners in South Africa. And not only have we neglected them, at least our political leadership has neglected them, but we have betrayed them. It's not just a matter of neglect, not paying. Turn that around.
Well, Paul, we're going to pick up your point right after this break. Stay tuned, folks.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com. I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Why don't we liberate these United States? We're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first. Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who has been cursed? There's things to be done all over the world, but let's rebuild America first.
Let's rebuild America first, folks. And let's rebuild South Africa, too. And what a beautiful country our South African kinsmen built. And Paul, you know, going back to your numbers, Paul mentioned during the first segment of the show that 70,000 white South Africans have been murdered since 1994 in that short span of 22 years.
Yeah, 23 years. 23 years.
Yeah, the folks... To put it into your American frame of reference, multiply 70,000 times 50, and that means quite precisely that this would be comparable to 3.5 million. There are about 200 million white people in America. Multiply 70,000 by 50. If 3.5 million white Americans had been murdered by non-white people in America since 1994, That would be the comparable one. Can you imagine that? 3.5 million. This is, I'm not making this up. This is what our cousins have experienced in South Africa. Imagine, imagine that. It would mean that everyone, and Paul can confirm this. I'll turn the microphone back over to Paul. But Karen Smith, when she was on the show, and other South Africans said, there isn't anyone in South Africa who doesn't have a story in their family of someone beaten, murdered, or raped in this time frame. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, that's right, James. Everybody has a crime story. If they're lucky, it didn't involve them personally, but it involved, as you say, friends or relatives. Our fellow whites have had to put up with is incredible. And the thing that really struck me is how much the whites had done for the blacks in South Africa. You know, the blacks in South Africa, while there are many who are poor, have the highest standard of living of any blacks in Africa. Everybody's got a cell phone. I mean, everybody has a cell phone. The health care these people receive, the education, all funded by the white taxpayers. And this goes back to the days before the present government, back to the days of apartheid. We were fed largely a cultural Marxist phony baloney bill of goods about racism and exploitation and the poor blacks. The whites did an awful lot for blacks in South Africa, and gets absolutely no credit. And there's the South Africans have a saying that I think is rather apt. It's if I can say it correctly, it's something like stank for dank, stink for thanks, or more colloquially, shit for thanks. And that's the way they feel that the world, largely led by the cultural Marxist press going way, way back into the 50s, constantly denigrated them, gave them no credit for their good intentions and for their good works, and constantly sought basically their destruction. And they went a long way toward achieving that when power was turned, they forced or coerced South African traders to hand over power to the communists of the African National Congress in 1994. There's something odd about some whites. You know, they get incredibly emotional about saving some obscure people. I like the Tibetans. I'm in favor of the Tibetans, but I know people who devote their life cost.
Paul, we're going to break. We'll be right back. Can't keep my eyes from the circling skies.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, fall. My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round, and for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Nature'sYouth.com. simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name. 'Cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto, just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing.
We're back, folks. Thanks for joining us here on the American Freedom Party Report. I don't think I ever gave the date. This is January 8th, 2017. We have with us George in Maryland and Paul Fromm in Canada. We've got a caller waiting online, Alan in Chicago. Alan, we'll get to you in just a moment. The Paul, you got interrupted by the break, so let me just hand the microphone back to you.
I guess what I was driving at is that many of our people tend to be altruistic, and that's good. But sometimes they become fixated on helping an obscure cause in a halfway around the world that has nothing to do with them. I'm thinking of the number of people who, I guess for good reasons, are sympathetic to the plight of the Tibetans. While I agree with them in a general sense, I wonder, why are we not more concerned about the plight of our own biological relatives, our kith and kin, the white tribe in South Africa? And, you know, that's why I've been a huge admirer of Merle Haggard for 30 years. But, you know, that song that you played there, just so apropos. You know, there's causes to be, you know, involved in all over the world. Sure, that's nice. But let's put America first. Well, let's put our own people first. And, you know, I think we've got to lead in trying to create that mentality. You know, I've been so impressed with the effects already of Donald Trump's leadership, where he doesn't just, you know, unlike many politicians, feel your pain or deliver windy statements of good sentiment. Donald Trump actually tries to get things done. From bringing back Merry Christmas to saving those jobs, that leadership is important, and I think we have to show that we've got to tell the world that our fellow whites in South Africa are important.
Yes, and the folks, why is it important to you? Why? Well, you're not going to South Africa, you say, and you don't know anybody in South Africa right now. Well, here's why it's important to all of us, to all white people, because unless we stand up and defend our kinsmen in South Africa, South Africa, you may not be going to South Africa, but South Africa is coming to a theater near you. It is coming to you, because South Africa, and this Paul will be pointing this out in this book that you can help fund and that you can read and help disseminate once it's published, and that is that the template for what's happening to white people in South Africa is exactly what is scheduled for all of us. And South Africa is like a, what do they call that in mining, the canary in the mine. It's the canary that tells us what it will alert us to the fact that we're in grave peril, and that this murder that's going on of our kinsmen, the genocide, we haven't mentioned that word genocide yet. We talk about that here in America. We talk about genocide of white people. It's actually in an advanced stage in South Africa. And the Genocide Watch, the official liberally recognized world organization that certifies when and where genocide is going on, has certified that genocide is going on of white people in South Africa and in the former Rhodesia. So the this is for so many reasons. We have this great, great moral reason and actual survival reason to defend our 4 million or so kinsmen. That's a lot of people in South Africa. And the I'm looking at my world globe here. I just went upstairs during the break and brought the globe down here, and I'm noticing that as we look forward, you know, this is something we can do. That Donald Trump, we can help Donald Trump out in so many ways. He, you know, can he do a show on what's happening in South Africa? Not so much. He can hear what we're saying, and his staff can hear what we're saying, and it can affect his choice of an ambassador to South Africa and affect his choice of what he does in his policies towards South Africa. But there's so many things, and George and I will be talking about this a little later in the show, when we get down to the fine grain, the detail of the revolution that Trump has initiated. This has to permeate down to the local level and throughout the world. We can do this local work, this groundwork that supports what Trump is doing at the very tippity top, so that we can educate this radio show. We're educating people about what's happening, the reality of what's going on. We're doing the job of the media that is not being done by the controlled media, which is not a media at all. It's a hostile establishment. It's not a media, or it's not a media. Paul Craig Roberts said this yesterday. I watched an interview he did with Max Kaiser, and he said, "This isn't media. These news companies. This isn't media. These are about six big conglomerates, which are a propaganda organization."
Yeah,
media is the wrong word. It's not what they do. That's something that we can do here, folks. When Paul finishes this book and you read it and you give it away and buy it and buy cases of it, we're doing the job not being done by media or by our schools. Do you think your kids in school are getting the facts about South Africa? I don't think so. I know my kids aren't. Well, I only have one, my 11-year-old in school, but she is not going to get the truth about South Africa. She is going to get strictly, and you can be sure of this in any school in America, your child is going to get Kumbaya, is what they're going to study. And they won't even come close to hearing the truth about what's going on in South Africa. So who's going to do that job? We are. I was just noticing, I'm bringing a lot of subjects together here, but just looking at this globe I brought from upstairs, South Africa is in a nice, mild climate zone of the earth. We white folks, if we start thinking long term, which we should, shouldn't we? In the next 500 years, do you think we're going to need a warm zone in which to live on planet Earth? Or do you think we're going to be comfortable living on top of a 10,000 foot thick ice sheet? which is, Paul, what you're facing up there in Canada, 20,000 years ago, where you're, I don't know what province you're in right now, but I think it's true of any province that you might be in Canada. The ice, this is hard to believe, folks, the ice in Paul's Canada was 10,000 feet thick. Not 10 feet, 10,000 feet, 2 miles. And that ice extended down to where I'm sitting right here. Where I'm sitting was also under 2 miles of ice.
I think there are times when you feel that ice has never left there. Yeah, down there now, right?
Yeah, but we could do a whole show on this. The interesting facets about the ice ages, are people surviving those ice ages, and what it has meant for us and our genetic makeup and so on. It's all interrelated with ice ages. But the how tough and how smart we are, very much related to having survived those ice ages. But the ice ages are coming back. Now, I know I'm wandering far afield here, and that's something we have the luxury of doing on radio. But ice ages, we've had many of them in the history of the earth. People like Louis Agassiz, who did work right here where I am, discovered these things in the last 150 years. Before that, people had no idea that there had ever been, that there was such a thing as evolution. No idea that there was such a thing as ice ages. No idea about the age of our species and our race. Our people have discovered all of this stuff, and there will be more ice ages. So what is our plan, folks? What's the plan? We need a plan for our relatives in South Africa. We need a plan for ourselves for 500 years from now and for 1,000 years from now. And it's very, very possible this cold that we're seeing now, many, many people, climatologists, saying this is the precursor of not global warming, but of an ice age, a regularly recurring event on Earth. It has occurred many, many times. It will happen again. And what is our plan for the white race during the next ice age? Well, South Africa, beautiful place to be during an ice age. It's kind of dramatic thinking, Paul, but every single Canadian will have to relocate.
Well, depending on how bad it gets, you might be right. This is the sort of forward thinking Dr. William Pierce used to do. He had his own vision of where the white race may end up. But that is a drawback with some conservatives' thinking, is that they basically are just looking at the current bottom line. And of course, we have to live in the present, absolutely. But I think people like us also have to project ahead as to what might be. And one of the things we're going to have is we're going to have our own homeland. And we can't afford to have our homelands in Europe and North America invaded. And they have been. We're in the process of an all-out invasion of North America through immigration. And that has to be stopped and turned back. And it's an issue that absolutely has to be addressed, or our future, as you're suggesting, could look a lot like that of our kith and kin in South Africa. What happens to whites when they become a minority in a colored majority, in a land with a colored majority, isn't very pretty. And South Africa and Rhodesia are good examples of that.
And now, Paul, you're a world traveler. You've been to Australia, correct?
Yes, I have.
And have you been to Argentina?
Yes.
And to Uruguay?
No.
Southern Brazil?
No.
Okay, but to Argentina. Now, yes. Folks, when we look forward for the white race, look at your globe, or look at your world map, and look at that temperate zone of really nice climate that you see in northern Argentina, which is a very white place. People don't realize this. There's so many things. Again, this is what we can do on this show. We can educate people. Lots of white folks in Argentina, folks. It's a white country. It's a lot whiter than a lot of places in America right now. I haven't been there, but Paul has. So did I get that right, Paul?
Yes. Yes, you did.
And Australia, my gosh, it might be the gem of white nations in many ways. Australia, which in the year 19, in their very first meeting of their legislature upon independence in 1901, full independence from the mother country of Great Britain, in the very first Congress, in the very first legislative act Australia, not South Africa, a lot of parallel between the two countries, but Australia's first act was the White Australia Act. That was the name of it, the White Australia Act, which was the law of Australia all the way up to World War II and even after World War II. It was enthusiastically endorsed by all Australians. I mean, there were probably a few dissenters, but every political party endorsed it. There was no political party that opposed the White Australia policy. And what was the White Australia policy? It was a plan to keep Australia white. How long? Let's see. Forever.
Forever.
on the entirely sensible basis that the whites had built South Africa, had built Australia. They were the founding settler people. There would be almost nothing in Australia but perhaps a few tens of thousands of Aborigines living in desperate primitive poverty and kangaroos. jungle on the east and north and on the northern part of Australia in Queensland, rolling hills in New South Wales and Victoria, and desert or very scrub country for the rest. That's, you know, well, depends who you believe, but real settlement began at the end of the 18th century, although ironically whites may have been there 2,000 years ago. But anyway, real settlement in near historical times began only 200 years ago, and you have the thriving modern progressive country that Australia is today because of whites. Well, why should that be given away? And that's what the White Australia policy said, and it went across party lines, both Labor or the you know, the kind of the left side of the spectrum, and the Liberal and farmer parties, which would be kind of the right part side of the spectrum in terms of economics. But everybody was agreed on a White Australia. I mean, it we built it, or as that great rebel song down there says, it's our rules, our backyard. I mean, it's our country. Why don't we give it away? And that's the type of clear thinking we have to inculcate in our people. And I've mentioned this before, but politicians can lead on issues, but they generally don't introduce an issue. That's got to be done at the grassroots. In other words, there's got to be a market for it. That's what I think one of our tasks is to expand the market for real immigration reform and for the approach of, as Merle Haggard says, of putting America first, putting our people first. That used to be, well, just common sense. Everybody does that, but not anymore. Not after after half a century of assaults by the cultural Marxists. It's not the way much of our ruling class behaves.
Yes, and folks, I'm looking to the cover right now, here in a Google image of the sheet music, beautifully printed. Boy, the people knew how to print back in 1910, and in a way they don't now. But it's called White Australia, Australia, the white man's land, the Australian nation, the national song. This is the national song of Australia. A picture there of their prime minister, and all sorts of people bedecked in medals. And I think I'll get to, I'll try to find the lyrics for you. It's wonderful. I'm remembering it, but they actually had a marching song, marching bands. They had a pin that the patriotic citizens wore that said the White Australia policy. And now let's go back to this globe that we're looking at that Paul has traversed so much, so widely. Australia, South Africa, and Argentina are white places. Part of South Africa, a part that can be reclaimed. And ice ages come, there are many ice ages, and then there are huge, deep ice ages. They're very, very severe. It's not a joking matter here. And we'll get to it right after the break. We got Alan in Chicago. Stay tuned.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Get right. I'll make a fight for forefathers' plan.
We're back, folks. And we've got a bunch of callers here lined up. Mark in Colorado, William in Montana, Missy in Florida. And let's see, we had, let me just see if we've lost anybody here. We had, Alan in Chicago, Dan in Wisconsin. Quite a lineup. We're going to have to get to you. But let me just kind of wrap up the thought that we had going here on preserving our white lands and preserving a place for our race to live. I mentioned that the whole idea of ice ages, this is a new idea that white people discovered, that we, this is a discovery of ours. I was just reading up on it during the break here. That's how my education occurs, folks, is during the breaks. The Pierre Martel in 1742 was in the Chamonix Valley in Savoy, France, the border there of Italy and Switzerland. And he noticed huge boulders, big boulders, and the local people there said that these boulders had been left there, that they had been moved around. It was Pierre Martel who noticed something that you notice right here where I live in North Dakota. In people's front yards in North Dakota, you'll see a 2,000-4,000-pound boulder in somebody's front yard. And a newcomer to this area might say, wow, you must have paid a lot of money to get that huge boulder put in your front yard. But why did you do it? I mean, it's a pretty big boulder, but what kind of truck brought that in? No truck brought it here. It was here when we built the house. Really? Yes. And, well, why didn't you move it? Well, there's no way to move it. We don't have a truck that can move this boulder. And, folks, these boulders were left here by the glaciers that were covering Paul Fromm's Canada. 5,000, 10,000-pound rocks left in front yards all over North Dakota. And you just leave it there. You don't even try to move it. Pierre Martel discovered that in Chamonix in 1742. And it wasn't until 1824 that a Danish-Norwegian, Jens Esmark, put forth the theory that we have lived through ice ages. Can you believe that, Paul? How recently that was? 1824.
Yeah.
And the point of this is, folks, I'm looking at maps here of ice ages. They are regular, recurring things, cycles, some of them on cycles of about 20,000 years. We're overdue for the next ice age. The last ice age maximum was about 20,000 years ago. We're due for another ice age right now. Now, when you look at the maps, all of Canada is covered, and all of Northern Europe. And I'll promise I'll get to the calls right after this break. Stay tuned.
Your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.